Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into the Farzi Show. My name is Mark Farzetta. This is the Farzi Show, presented by Steven Singer, Steven Singer Jewelers. I don't want to start with the Phillies today because they are very depressing. I will try to have some fun with all you fine people today by not just talking about the Phillies, but also talking about the Sixers. The Sixers also haven't beaten the Celtics at all this year, so that's cool. And I got them tonight, so that's fun. Not the Flyer. Eagles, they get the draft at the end of the month. That's fun. Hey, I saw the movie Air last night, the Michael Jordan Nike story with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck and Chris Tucker. That was fun. I will try to have some fun on today's program, despite the scene and the state of sports in Philadelphia right now. That's what I try to guarantee every single show. Well, no matter how bad it gets, at least we'll have some fun. I'll rant, I'll rave, I'll scream, I'll yell, I'll be angry, but I'd rather 4 games into a baseball season not hit the panic button with great authority. I'll try not to do that. No matter how bad it's got. And today, for those that have listened to me for a long time, those that have watched the show for a long time, I'm a huge fan. You know, I'm a huge fan of the old school late night television, Johnny Carson. I was a kid. I was like 9 years old when Johnny Carson hung it up. Right, but I grew up watching Letterman and all that stuff. I love the old Johnny Carson bit of "It was so hot today." How hot was it? It was so hot today. I saw a pigeon walking in the shadow of Orson Welles. Okay, that's a joke that was funny in the 80s. Not really funny today, but you get the idea. It was so hot today. Burger King was singing, "If you want it your way, cook it yourself." Was a big fan of that type of thing. So we're gonna do a thing with the Phillies today. It's bad with the Phillies. How bad is it? And then I have some really interesting stats to throw at you regarding the Phillies and how terrible it's been. And you know what? You can always go by the numbers. And I always say numbers never lie, but they sure as hell can deceive. And in this instance, they're just dead on accurate. they don't lie at all, the numbers, when it comes to the Phillies. We could go by the numbers, but the way it looks is terrible. And I don't know what the hell Brandon Marsh was doing last night, but he wasn't helping the Phillies win ball games. That's for sure. He's in the game for defensive prowess. He's in the game because of what he's able to do defensively. The Phillies traded for him last year because of what he could do defensively. And anything they got from him on the field, or excuse me, at the plate, was going to be a bonus. He's actually got a couple of hits for you this season. He's actually been doing okay from the plate for Brandon Marsh's standard. He's been doing okay from the plate in the first, 3 games that he's played this season. So, okay, let's see what he's got. But the way he started things off last night, it's a miracle the Phillies were able to get out of that inning only down 2. It's a miracle that that's the way that that played out in last night's ballgame. He overruns the ball, hit right up the middle, the line drive, sure, hit right up the middle to Brandon Marsh in center field. He overruns that ball, allowing DJ LeMahieu to get to third base, so he gets a triple right out of the gate. You're putting Taijuan Walker, your Phillies debut Taijuan Walker, in a tight spot. Phillies then go on to allow the bases to get loaded, I should say, by the Yankees. The next thing you know, they're down 2-0. Ball goes off the mitt. of Taiwan Walker. You're down 2-0 before you know it in that ballgame. That can't happen with Brandon Marsh. It cannot happen with him in the field. And it sure as hell can't happen with him on the base pads. Gets a leadoff double for the Phillies in this ballgame in the fifth inning. Then gets picked off, thrown out, whatever the hell you want to call it, because he wasn't watching Dusty Wathan at third base to let him know whether or not he should stay, whether or not he should go. And two outs in that inning, in the fifth inning. JT Realmuto steps up to the plate with Brandon Marsh on second base after his after his leadoff double. Now all of a sudden you got two outs in the game. JT Realmuto steps up, hits a bullet to right field. Brandon Marsh, who's got good speed, mind you, it's one of the reasons why he's such a good defensive center fielder, is because he's got good speed. Mental fart, brain fart. I don't know what happened, but instead of rounding second with authority and going after home plate, or instead of having his head up to realize he needed to stay, because it was a great throw from right field, it was absolutely a great throw, ended up being, as far as speed went, as far as accuracy, not so much, but they did back up the throw nice. Don't know if Brandon Marsh would have scored easily or not, but it looked like he could have. So you have that play unfold the way it did in that fifth inning, and Brandon Marsh gets thrown out. Doesn't put the brakes on in time. Rounds third base a little too hard. I guess assumed that he was going to be safe at home and it was an easy play. With two outs, I don't know what the hell happened. I expect that run to score. If Brandon Marsh is on second base with two outs, I expect him to score from second base. Going on contact, he should be scoring. Apparently, Dusty Wathan didn't think that was going to be the case last night. I think that was the right call. Brandon Marsh wasn't paying attention, rounds third base really hard, puts on the brakes, can't get back to third in time, ends up getting thrown out at third. The threat is over. The Phillies have been playing god-awful baseball. We all know this. We're aware of this. We've been watching four games of god-awful baseball, four innings of awful pitching. You have no quality starts so far. Do not even the Bailey Falter got you to a quality start. You're doing terrible from the mound. We'll get into the numbers in a second. And the bats have been good and then terrible. They've kind of split over the first four games of the series. And this has been a historic, awful start for the Phillies. We'll get to why in just a second. For those that are wondering whether or not you hit the panic button after one series, the opening series, no, you don't hit the panic button. After four games, do you hit the panic button? No, I don't think you hit the panic button. But I do have concerns and worry about the remainder of this Philly season. And look, Bryce Harper could come back into this lineup and infuse some life. But they did a hell of a job without Bryce Harper in the lineup last year. That was then. This is now. It's an easy argument to make. But as I watch this Phillies team right now, I do have growing concerns. Because you do start to let your mind wander after 0-4 starts to a season. Especially after a season where there was great anticipation, after you saw you already had guys like Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola in the lineup, and they continued to struggle after the World Series with their first starts of the season. Not exactly the greatest thing in the world. Then you see a guy like Taiwan Walker that you were excited to pitch for the Phillies. He gets the fourth start of the season. He gets beat up a little bit. Yes, he has some problems in the field behind him. Yes, there were some unfortunate things, not just with Brandon Marsh, but the ball going off his mitt, allowing another run to score. And you have all sorts of problems as the game went on. Oh, and Gleyber Torres is also belting a ball into the right field stands as well. That doesn't feel too good either. That was off of Taiwan Walker. So as the game went on, as the season has gone on for the first four games, you only feel uncomfortable with the way the Phillies are going at. And you do allow your mind to wander just a little bit. And it's like, wow, did they really get lightning in the bottle towards the end of last season? Did they really get the perfect playoff schedule going into the playoffs there, being able to take care of business against the Cardinals? And then they're being able to take care of business against the Braves and the Padres and those guys, and then be able to make it into the World Series. Is that really, was that all just flash in the pan? It's a rough go of it right now. As I said yesterday, the Phillies are the only team in the National League yet to get their first W chalked up, yet to get their first win. Is this the type of season where we're going to be talking about gelling? Is this the type of season we're going to talk about how the clubhouse has to come together? Because last time I checked, Trey Turner wasn't exactly a clubhouse poison. Last time I checked, you had a guy in Rob Thompson that was supposed to be this great player's manager, and is this great player's manager as far as I'm concerned, but that's what you had last year. when I did the hit on Fox yesterday, it's like this isn't the type of season where you start out slow. Then it's like you fire the manager again and then hope for something different. You're not going to do that again. So is Rob Thompson the guy to make sure that you're having this team come together and gel and be the player's manager that he's supposed to be? Or is this just a team that's just waiting for Bryce Harper to be active? Because Bryce Harper's been around. It's not, I know it doesn't exactly give you the confidence of him in the lineup, but him being around is supposed to be this great presence, and he's best buds with Trey Turner, and everyone got along great with Harper last year, and Kyle Schwarber, who's really not hitting so far in the first four games of the season. He's the most respected guy that Dave Dombrowski's seen in a clubhouse since Darren Dalton, since he traded for Darren Dalton to come to the Marlins in 1997. Like, that's high praise. Like, we don't take any praise of Darren Dalton lightly in this city. And that's what you have. You're supposed to have this great clubhouse. I chalk this up to just not being prepared to start the season. Now, the good thing about baseball, 162 games. So, again, I'm not hitting the panic button, but I do have growing concerns. That's what I'll chalk that up as. But when you have seen this team play at a much higher level, at some point, I don't know if it's today. I don't know if it's tomorrow. I don't know if it's the home opener on Thursday. I don't know when it is. But I do feel like at some point we are going to reap the benefits of the excitement that we had or the excitement that we were given in the offseason. I don't feel like this season's going to be a clunker. I don't feel like we're going to look back on the 2023 season and be like, oh, man, they went to the World Series and they just really hit the fan and they were god awful. They were terrible. I feel like with this team, I feel like with this Phillies team, the thing that's keeping me somewhat close to sane with this Phillies team is that I know there's a much better brand of baseball in that clubhouse than what we have seen over the first four games. But I get why people have been upset. I mean, I'm upset. I didn't want to see the Phillies lose the first four games of the season. So let's have a little fun here. The Phillies have been bad. How bad have they been? Well, here's how bad they have been. You know what? Let's get a little music in here. Let's have a little fun. Let me see if the band is a little saucy today. This is going off our very limited music selection here. Let's see what this does. The Phillies are bad. Nope, definitely not. All right, let's just go with the fast five music here. There we go. How bad are they? The Phillies are so bad. They have the highest ERA in baseball. 9.28. That's two runs on average. Worse than any other team in baseball. The worst ERA. 9.28. Only the Toronto Blue Jays are second worst, and they are two runs worse or better than the Phillies. All right. The Phillies are so bad. How bad are they? Second highest opponent's batting average in baseball. Highest in the National League. 3.26 opponents on base percentage. That's how bad the Phillies pitching has been this season. How bad are the Phillies? They're one of four teams in the National League to not log a quality start. Not even a quality start. Bailey Falter has been the closest in that regard. The Phillies have tied the longest losing streak. How bad are the Phillies? They have now tied the longest losing streak by a team that was in the World Series the previous year of four, as we know. Four losses to start the season. The last team to start a season 0-4, the 1984 Baltimore Orioles, who had just beaten the 1983 Philadelphia Phillies in that World Series. That's how bad the Phillies are. Hey, but let's end on a good note, all right? Let's end on a good note. They got the third largest scoreboard in all of baseball, so that's something, folks. They unveiled it yesterday. It's a beautiful, it's a gorgeous scoreboard. Third biggest in Major League Baseball. Cut it, guys. Thank you very much. That's how bad it is for the Phillies. Pitching has been god-awful. Hitting has left a lot to be desired. Base running, mental errors. You can take some struggles when it comes to numbers like that. It may drive you a little crazy when it comes to starting a season. You could take those numbers and look at it and go, oh, wow, they're pretty terrible. All right. But you know what you can't take? Pro ball players playing like little leaguers. And that's what Brandon Marsh looked like yesterday. I don't know what it is about pitchers reaching for that ball that they shouldn't reach for, like the deflection. off the mitt of Taijuan Walker yesterday. It's natural reaction. It's the reflex, whatever pitcher, but it just never seems to work out, like, ever. You can take bad numbers, but what's really hard to take is just watching bad baseball. And the way Brandon Marsh was playing the game yesterday, for a guy that I have high hopes for, whether it's in center field or whether it's at the plate. I mean, last year, we don't talk about it enough. Last year, he hit 288 for the Phillies after the trade deadline. After he got acquired, 288 is pretty damn good. If you got a center fielder that can run and he's hitting 288, he's getting on base a little bit. Yeah, I'll take that.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But man, I can't take the mental errors. That just shows me you're not focused. That just shows me you're not prepared to play. I don't know what they were doing in spring training, but this team that's in front of us right now does not look prepared to play baseball. Hopefully they change their minds a little bit. And hopefully they do that before they come back to South Philadelphia, because it'd be really nice to watch this team at least have a win, maybe two. Let me get greedy. Let me a win or two under their belt already before they make their debut in front of these fans on Thursday. And I'm still excited for it. I'm still ready for it. Still really, really excited. Can't wait. And let's just hope the season starts to turn around already. And we don't have to see god-awful baseball. One last thing on the Phils and Rob Thompson breaking it down for us after the game. Here he is talking about Brandon Marsh's play in the fifth inning where he overran third base, essentially. You're not going to like this explanation, but nonetheless, here it is.
He ran with his head down, didn't see Dusty with his hands up. I thought Dusty had his hands up and plenty of time to hold him. Cordero throws the ball pretty good, and it looks bad because he overthrows the cutoff, man, but you don't know that as a third base coach. You just know when the guy's about to hit third base and when the ball's getting in his glove. He just got around too far.
It's been a couple of times now where the game kind of unraveled in one inning, like yeah. The beginning for the other team. Is it just like, you know, just trying to figure out who to go to in what spot right now?
Yeah, really what it is. And Marte got the ball up on the home run to Rizzo, and then after that he really couldn't find the plate. So we got some work to do there.
Yes, I would say you have some work to do. How does your center fielder, how does Brandon Marsh have his head down? Is he just expecting to run? Is he expecting to score? I mean, he should be expecting to score. I get that part of it. But you still got to be watching your third base coach the entire way. This is the thing in baseball that just drives me absolutely crazy, because I feel like every kid knows this that has played one baseball game. Just stare down your third base coach and he'll let you know what's what. He had his head down and wasn't watching. Cool. I know everyone wants to say put your head down and run, and that sounds great, but the way it unfolded yesterday was just god-awful terrible. All right. Let me switch it up here and talk about something that's a little bit more fun. I don't remember the last movie I was at. I got invited to go see the premiere of the movie Air. It's a phenomenal story of Michael Jordan going to Nike and all that stuff, and I'm not going to give away too much. I'm not going to ruin it for you. But all I'm going to say is thank you to the great people that invited me to go to the premiere last night. It was in Old City. Casey Boy from Preston and Steve hosted the event. Good to see him. Great to catch up with him for a second. And I will say this. I believe this movie hits theaters tomorrow. If you're a basketball fan, if you're a fan of the Jordan 1s and you're a fan of all that and those stories and all that stuff, and you're a Michael Jordan fanatic, whatever it might be, go see this movie. If you just like really good stories told really, really well, I'll go ahead and say phenomenal stories told phenomenally well, go see this movie. This was the first movie I'd been to. I was thinking about it last night, and I think the last movie I actually saw in theaters, I'm ashamed to admit, was Sherlock Holmes, Will Ferrell, and John C. Reilly. I think that was the last movie I saw in theaters pre-pandemic. And I remember I saw that movie, and the next day I interviewed Gilbert Gottfried, may he rest in peace. And he goes, "Who goes to the movies anymore?" I'm like, "Well, actually, I went to the movies last night." He goes, "Oh yeah, what'd you see?" I said, "I actually saw the Sherlock Holmes movie." "Why would you see that crap?" And I go, well, I was with two of my young nephews, and they really wanted to see it. And plus, I wanted to see it. I'm a Will Ferrell fan. But anyway, that's the last movie I saw in the theater. Going to a theater last night, here is what was weird for me. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you haven't been to no movies in a while. Maybe you haven't been to the movies in a while. When I watch movies at home, like most people, or TV at home, I'm constantly IMDBing things. Like, I'll see an actor. What are they from? And then I'll IMDB or whatever. Oh, that's where I've seen them in. There were three or four different occasions last night where I had to fight the urge to pick up my phone to IMDB an actor that was in that movie last night. And I did not, because you don't want to be the guy lighting up the theater with your phone's light while you're trying to watch the movie. But that was the natural tendency. So it was pretty awesome, though, to be back in the theater. Enjoy that delicious movie popcorn. Only the movie popcorn can be movie popcorn. It was fantastic. But go see the movie. Really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun watching that movie last night. Did not have fun to come back. Watch the Phillies implode. That's enough on the Phillies. The Sixers are in action tonight, ladies and gentlemen, taking on the Boston Celtics team. They are 0-3 against this season. Most recently, they lost on February 25th to the Celtics team, the night that Joel Embiid dropped in 41 points. If there was any way, and the Sixers are hosting that game tonight, 8 o'clock tip-off, South Philly. If there is any way possible, for the Sixers to come close to resetting the awful feeling of playing as terrible as they did for three of the four quarters that they played against the Milwaukee Bucks, if there's any way to reset that feeling of awfulness of, oh, maybe they can get out of the second round, beat the Celtics tonight. It's very simple. Any way to inspire confidence in this fan base that you're a team to be taken seriously as a title contender, as an Eastern Conference Finals contender, if you're going to inspire any confidence that you're not going to submit to the second round curse again, and I even hate that that's become a phrase as of late, if you're going to inspire any confidence in the fan base that you're a team that could do that, beat the Celtics tonight. Do the thing that you haven't been able to do all year long. When we had Paul Reed on the show, we talked about how, you know, the Sixers are definitely thinking about playoff seeding. You got four games left on the schedule. You're not passing the Celtics right now in the standings, and the Celtics are coming into this game well-rested. They haven't played since Friday. They've had some time off. The Sixers, obviously, are coming off a game two nights ago in Milwaukee, coming off a road loss. So the Sixers are not as well-rested, at least. We'll just say that. That's fair enough to say because it's true. But if you want to inspire that confidence at home, if you want to inspire that confidence in this fan base, go out and beat the Celtics tonight. This is a game that Joel Embiid needs to be on top of his stuff like he has been in the past. Like I said, 41 points against the Celtics last time they played them on February 5th. This is a game where James Harden can't turn the basketball over 5+ times like he's done in three of his last four games. That's not what you're paying James Harden for. You need points and you need those assists. The assists have been consistent. The turnovers have become a problem. And as I pointed out during yesterday's show, that is not something that has been the MO of James Harden throughout his career. He does not turn the ball over at alarming rates of 5 times a night, 6 times a night. That's not his MO. Control the basketball, control the clock, control the pace of play. Joel Embiid's got to be him. James Harden can't turn the basketball over. Do everything else that he's been doing very well throughout this entire season. It's only recently that the turnovers have been an issue. So, JoJo, play at the level we know you can play at. James Harden, go ahead and be protective of the basketball. Don't force the issue. Be strong with the ball. Don't be lazy with the ball, as we saw in that game against the Bucks. Let's see that from James Harden tonight. Tyrese Maxey, keep the threes coming, brother. Be that guy. If James Harden isn't going to be that guy from deep, love to see you be that guy from deep. Go ahead, give me 5 more threes. Go ahead. Why not? Knock him down, brother. When it comes to the step back three that you're doing so phenomenally well in that game two nights ago against the Bucks, let's see that again. Defense stepping up, playing well defensively, playing heads up, playing like that 10-year veteran. I love when we throw that phrase around when we talk about young guys, but that's what Tyrese Maxey has done as of late. He's been aggressive. He hasn't been afraid. And on the defensive end of things, he has played strong basketball. Over the last half of the season, second half of the season, Tyrese Maxey, I don't know what got in him, and we could all talk about how coming off the bench was bad for his career and his mojo, and I think it certainly was. But if it did anything, if you're going to try to just glean one positive out of what it did for Tyrese Maxey, it did give him a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. And I'm not going to give enough credit to Doc Rivers, good old Duck Rivers himself, when it comes to trying to find that way to motivate a young player, because I don't think Tyrese Maxey needed that much motivation. I think that was more disheartening for him to be on the bench than anything. But if you want to try to glean some type of positive thing out of it, maybe it was enough to be a chip on his shoulder to play a little bit more defense. If trying to improve on every facet of his game. I know every single athlete talking about, hey, what do you want to get better at? Well, everything. Okay, thanks. Defensively, the NBA, I think everyone, for the most part, the vast majority, I'll say, of the league can stand to get better defensively. Over the last 2 months of the season, Tyrese Maxey, I feel, has become a much better defensive player than what we have seen him in previous years, in previous games in his young career. Keep that coming. Threes have been nice. Hitting those threes have been fantastic. The way you've been playing defense, aggressive, going to the hole. Everything Tyrese Maxey has done in the second half of the season has really, I think, elevated the play of a lot of these guys on the court with him. And seeing that from a young player like that only gives you a lot more optimism for the future. Love seeing that from him. Tobias Harris has been damn near invisible. When you didn't have Harden, when you didn't have Embiid, you saw Tobias Harris, and I harped on this for a long time, you saw Tobias Harris play a brand of basketball that we really hadn't seen him play. Anything close to that level. I mean, we've seen a game here and there from him at that level, but the way he played for the Clippers before he was acquired by the Sixers was you were trading for a guy that was going to be a cornerstone for this team. You were going to see a guy that was going to help Joel Embiid grow. You're going to help Ben Simmons grow. You're going to help Jimmy Butler here in Philly. You were getting a great piece to that puzzle. And now you're seeing him be somewhat of a role player, dare I say it, but that's what he's been. And I know everyone wants to jump to the contract. The contract isn't changing. I'm done banging my head against the wall. Oh, because of his contract, you're going to get more from him. No, I got it. I know Tobias Harris has more talent than what we have seen. And when you didn't have Harden, you didn't have Embiid, you saw Tobias Harris get back into that role similar to what he had played with. Numbers-wise, doesn't measure up. But in terms of style of play, he played very similar to the way that he played when he was with the Clippers right before the Sixers acquired him for the Jimmy Butler Sixers team that lost to the quadruple doink by Kawhi Leonard. But you saw Tobias Harris play a much better style of his brand of basketball where he was hitting threes for you. He was playing great defense for you. He wasn't afraid to drive the lane. He wasn't just some 3-and-D guy, but the way I termed it, he was like a 3-and-D guy on steroids because he had the ability to stand in the corner, maybe throw a pump fake if he was defended, go into the lane and actually go for the dunk, go for the N1, get 3 points the old-fashioned way, as the saying goes. That's what you saw from Tobias Harris as the season went on, when you didn't have a healthy James Harden, you didn't have a healthy Joel Embiid, and also you had Tyrese Maxey coming off the bench. So there was more room for him to play that style, to be more of a cornerstone of the Sixers offense again. If this Sixers team is going to, as I put it earlier, inspire hope that they can get out of the second round by beating the Celtics tonight, you're going to need a lot more from Tobias Harris. You're going to need him to be clutch. Sometimes you could, it's almost like you feel like you could chalk him up. Oh, so you get 2 threes in this game and to bet him, the +2 on the threes, right? Let's make that happen. So it's consistency is what you need from Tobias Harris. And every once in a while, it gives you a nice streak of 2 weeks where you feel like, oh, there's that consistent player. You're going to need that to get out of the second round of the playoffs. You're certainly going to need that to beat the Celtics tonight. Give me a sneak preview. That's what I'm asking the Sixers tonight. Not just inspire hope. Give me a sneak preview of the team that I'm going to see in the playoffs. A team that I can have confidence in is going to get out of that second round as a 3 seed. Get out of that first round as a 3 seed without a big sweat. And then get into that second round and show me that you're actually going to get it out of that second round for the first time since Allen Iverson was playing here. You get Embiid playing at the top of his game, Harden not turning the basketball over. It's not even a big ask for James Harden to not turn the basketball over. Just do what you've normally done. And then you get to Tyrese Maxey playing at the level we know he can play at. And then Tobias Harris is the biggest question mark in that. I'm hoping P.J. Tucker, who I think has played better in the second half of the season, I'm hoping playoff P.J. is just lying in wait to shut down whoever it is they're going to be facing in the first 2 rounds of this of the playoffs. That's what I'm hoping for. Playoff P.J. P.J. Tucker, the guy you traded for, $37 million, a lot of money. That's the guy that I'm hoping the 76ers are going to be getting in the playoffs. A better version of what they've seen so far. But still, the second half of the season, I think P.J. Tucker has played much better basketball. But the biggest question mark to me is Tobias Harris. And it's not a matter of asking him to play up to a contract. I would love to see that happen, but that contract is for a guy that is a real cornerstone piece. Max contract level type stuff. He's not going to reach that here with James Harden and Joel Embiid. Is he overpaid? Yeah, he's overpaid. I ain't mad at him. Guy got his bag, as the kids like to say nowadays. But still, need a much better brand of basketball from Tobias Harris. One that is that 3-and-D guy on steroids. He'll give you the defense. That's something I think has become the most consistent part of his game. Certainly started last year in the playoffs against the Toronto Raptors, and he has carried it into this season. And I've loved what I've seen from him defensively this season.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But everything else, the catch and release and the corner three with Tobias Harris, need to see that hit with more consistency. Need to see that attempted with more consistency. Going to the lane, getting the N1, need to see that style again from Tobias Harris. That's the guy I'm going to be focusing on for the last four games of the season. That's one of the guys I'm going to be focusing on tonight. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take everything I can get from Joel Embiid for granted. I'm going to take it for granted that James Harden's turnover problems are not going to last. And I'm going to take it for granted that Tyrese Maxey can play at the level of play we have seen him play at the second half of the season. Tobias Harris is the biggest question mark I can see on this team. Guys even coming off the bench, De'Anthony Melton, Daniel House, for instance, Paul Reed. These are guys that I'm like, okay, this is what you can get from these guys. Oh, look, De'Anthony Melton coming off the bench to help this team. Oh, it's almost like that's exactly why you traded for him. And that is why Daryl Morey traded for him. But getting efforts like that, getting output like that, getting production like that, that's going to give this fan base confidence. And winning against the Celtics tonight will help give this fan base confidence that this team can actually make it out of the second round. Because the air was certainly let out of the balloon in the way they lost to the Milwaukee Bucks. Let them back in the game. 4 points. 4 point difference. 20 points a second ago. 4 point difference now. And then they got blown out the rest of the way. And a big part of that was turnovers. Big part of that was turnovers. Most notably turnovers from James Harden. So that's what I'm looking forward to tonight. Look forward to that basketball game going on for the Sixers, and hopefully that they can, like I said before, inspire that confidence that we need so desperately. National championship game. Speaking of basketball, UConn absolutely took it to San Diego State. UConn held San Diego State to without a field goal for 11 minutes in that first half. That does not have a place. That does not have a place in the NCAA championship. And watching that game last night did not exactly play out the way. I thought San Diego State was going to put up much more of a fight. but UConn, just they were dominant. Simple as that. Fifth national title for them. Congratulations to UConn. I just wanted to at least mention that that game. Kentavious Street got introduced as a member of the Eagles yesterday. Tomorrow, we're going to have Jeff Mosher on the show. We'll be covering all things Eagles with Jeff Mosher. But Kentavious Street got introduced to the media last night. You could watch the press conference on the Eagles website. And this has been the buzzword. He didn't say the word culture, but he sure as hell described the culture. Instead of using that word, he came out yesterday and was talking about how this locker room has the feeling of everybody wants to be there. Everybody wants to come to work. Everybody jumps out of bed to get in the film room, get in the weight room, just be around the guys. And he said that's like something he hasn't really experienced much in his career. Every time a new guy comes in, they talk about how great the culture is. And I've taken time, I've gone out and watched some of these other press conferences, and it does not get brought up the way it gets brought up here. The culture that Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, Nick Sirianni has helped instill, the culture that was here already from Doug Peterson, when it comes to just not even just winning a Super Bowl, but it comes to the guys that won that Super Bowl, whether it's Jason Kelce, Fletcher Cox, or Brandon Graham, these are all guys that know what it takes to win. The vast majority of this roster, bringing Darius Slay back, him being as touched as he was last year to just be a captain, James Bradbury, the type of culture that these guys bring in here, the type of culture that these guys help champion here in Philadelphia, that's not lost on these players. And this isn't something that we can't identify as mere mortals, non-professional athletes. Everybody wants to go to a working environment that feels like everyone's supposed to be there. Everyone wants to go where everyone's welcomed. If you're having a struggle, someone else is going to help you along the way. You want to go to an atmosphere like that. That's what the Eagles have. Picture the best job you might have ever had in your life. The place you really loved going to. I got to go to work, but at least work's cool. You know, that kind of thing. That's what the Eagles have tenfold. And they've got a championship to boot. Not everyone on this team has won a championship. But three guys, at least three guys on this team, know what it takes. Lane Johnson, another one, of course. These guys know what it takes to put together a winning roster. They know that the season's going to have ebbs and flows, and they got a coach that helps champion that culture as well. It's wild to hear every guy that's come in here talk about how much they look forward to. Yeah, the paycheck, I'm sure, is great too. But on top of that, money just becomes money after a while. And then you want to make sure that everything else around you is clicking. And these guys are choosing to play here in Philadelphia simply because Jalen Carter visits the Eagles, only visiting top 10 picks, teams with top 10 picks apparently in the NFL. According to Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, the Eagles were on his list. They're a top 10 school, or a top 10 school. They're a top 10 team picking the draft. At least now they are. I hope he sampled the culture and liked it. It's something that I do not take for granted because we have seen teams. I went on the TO rant yesterday. We have seen teams not have great culture. We have seen teams where the coach thinks he's better than bigger than the team. We have seen teams where players think they're bigger and better than the team, and they put themselves first. There's something about this squad that is very special. And I'm hoping that the talent that they're still going to acquire throughout the rest of this offseason, when it comes to the draft, most notably, whether that's Jalen Carter or whoever, Miles Murphy, whoever it is, I hope that the culture continues the same trend. And I know that's something that Jeffrey Lurie has put a high priority on since he's been here. We've seen bad moments. We saw really when it got to be really terrible in the Chip Kelly era, he did not give Chip Kelly that extra year of, oh, maybe he can bounce back. The year that he gave to Andy Reid a couple of times, the year that he gave Ray Rhodes years ago. Oh, you're only 6-10. Give it another shot. 6-10 again. All right, see ya. He didn't give Chip Kelly that extra time because the culture was terrible. And he went with somebody safe. He went with Doug Peterson. Not safe in terms of guaranteed winning by any means, but at least a coach that would help him feel like this culture would restore itself to what it was under Andy Reid for the vast majority of Andy Reid's career here in Philadelphia. And that's what he's done with Doug Peterson, and that's certainly what he's done now in Nick Sirianni. So Catavius Street comes in here, gets introduced to the media. First thing he's talking about is how great the culture is here in Philadelphia again. That's not something I take lightly at all. Let me tell you about my man Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers, the other corner of 8th and Walnut, right there on Jewelers Row. Steven Singer Jeweler guarantees the perfect price. Now, what's the perfect price? I'll tell you the perfect price. The perfect price is something where other jewelers might be marking things way up just to mark it down a couple of bucks in front of you, make you feel like you won something. Hey, you're a really good negotiator. Well, Steven Singer Jewelers, don't worry about that. It's all marked down already, so you don't have to worry about any inflated prices or anything like that. At Steven Singer Jewelers, you don't have to worry about a promo code. You don't have to worry about whether you caught the sale. You simply sit down, relax, and get treated like a real family member and get treated by a real jewelry expert. How you want to be treated as a customer, a valued customer at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Go online at IHateStevenSinger.com. That's IHateStevenSinger.com. Check out their Ready for Love diamond engagement rings that are just that, ready for love. Thinking about getting engaged? It's never been easier to get engaged thanks to Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price, a perfect price online at IHateStevenSinger.com. That's IHateStevenSinger.com. Let me tell you about the amazing people at Manscaped. Manscaped.com. Go to Manscaped.com. Trust the people at Manscaped.com and their incredible skin-safe technology that helps reduce the risk of nicks so you can manscape with confidence and comfort. You'll enjoy their Platinum Package 4.0, which is absolutely amazing. Their Platinum Package 4.0 includes their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, their Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, and yes, they come with skin-safe technology that helps reduce the risk of nicks, so you can manscape with confidence and comfort. Use promo code FARZY. That's promo code FARZY at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. How about the amazing people at PHL Sports Nation, Philadelphia Sports Nation, enjoying enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience? experience across all social media and blogs. That's phlsportsnation.com. Let's not forget about Freestone Farm CBD. FreestoneFarmCBD.com. You use CBD? You like CBD? Try Freestone Farm CBD at FreestoneFarmCBD.com. You'll enjoy the tropical tasting Bayox that clocks in at a chart-topping 24.1% and Super CBD, which is half Hindu, Kush, and 21%. Genetics of these guys, they're off the charts. So what are you waiting for? Looking to calm down after a hectic day? Looking to wind down after an intense workout? I don't know what that's like, but Freestone Farm CBD is there to help you out. FreestoneFarmCBD.com. Let's get into the chat check. See how you wonderful people are doing on this fine Tuesday morning. April. Good morning, April. Kevin, good morning. I'm on the Farzi Show YouTube. I'll hop over to Jacob in a second. Kevin, good morning. Hello. Sean Kilrain, what's up, buddy? Nice to see you. April, PJ, I'm so sorry you had to sit through that mess. The Phillies mess? Because it is a mess. That's for sure. We still had a great time. Still a whole lot of ball left. I want to make it clear. I am not hitting the panic button. I'm worried. I'm concerned. But panic would mean I'm already chalking up the season. If you have friends, family, or yourself, let's not forget to look in the mirror here. But if you're someone right now that's saying, ah, this season's over, this team sucks, this is the way it's going to be for the rest of the season, that's panic. I'm not doing that. Am I acknowledging concerns? You can acknowledge concerns. If you're not acknowledging concerns at 0-4 and the worst ERA in baseball, then you're lying to yourself. I'm not saying the season's over. I'm not saying the season's a wash. As I said earlier, there's a much better brand of baseball, much better brand of baseball that this Phillies team has in them. And I still say they're going to the playoffs. I ain't panicking. Concerned? Worried? Panicked? Packing it in? Certainly not. Plus, I feel like the first month of a baseball season is the time that I'll excuse anyone from being blindly optimistic because there is so much baseball to be played. I pointed it out yesterday. At the time right before the Phillies fired Joe Girardi, they had to go on some ungodly run to just finish, maybe like 90 wins. They got to 87. They still made the playoffs. Thank goodness for that expanded playoff roster. Playoff schedule. Thank God for that. Otherwise, Phillies would have made it, which is great. But it was a rough go of it to start things out. And what did they do? They turned it around. So I'm not about to pack it in game four. Sure as hell wasn't ready to pack it in game three either. I'm not ready to pack it in this early in the season. That's the great thing about baseball. Sometimes it's the bad thing that's about baseball when it's 162 games, it feels like it's dragging on. But when it's bad, oh man, is it bad. But when the Phillies are good and you got a summer of great baseball, which is what I'm looking forward to, and you should too, that's what I'll look forward to. Get through the muck to get to the good stuff. Sean Kilray, Phillies are just the seventh team in baseball history to start 0-4. Yes. And then go to the World Series. First team in 38 years. That is true. How bad is it? First team since the 84 Orioles who beat the Phillies in the World Series. Fuji, happy Tuesday to you. No doubt. What are we no doubting? No doubt a game in person is always more fun than at home. There you go. Wait, PJ, you weren't at the game last night, were you? You weren't in New York, were you? You were in New York? God bless you, brother. Sorry I missed that. I heard that new Yankee Stadium's like a mall. The old one was like a museum. This one's like a mall. This came up in conversation last night at the movie because we were watching the game on the old TV there after the movie. We were watching the game at the bar. And my buddy used to live in New York, who I took to see the movie, and he had been to the new Yankee Stadium. He'd been to the old one. And I said, I've heard a comparison of the first time you walked into the then Core State Center, then the First Union Center, FU Center, that was awesome, then the Wachovia and now Wells Fargo Center. The first time I walked into that building from the Spectrum, experiencing games of the Spectrum, the first time I walked into that building, I was like, I feel like I'm in a mall. I feel like I'm in Willow Grove Mall. Oh, there's a hockey game going on just on the other side of that wall? No way. Oh, is the basketball Sixers playing right now? Is that Clarence Weatherspoon I hear? That's what it felt like. You're going into a mall. The new Yankee Stadium, I've heard, had the same vibe, and my buddy and somebody else at the bar confirmed that. It's basically what it is. You go out into the field, and it feels like the old Yankee Stadium, but in the bellows of the beast, feels like a mall. If you've been there, would you say that's about right? Like a mall, PJ? Mall quality? Yeah. Do they have Annie Ann's pretzels? Because then it's a mall. All right, anyway, sorry. Phillies is at Fuji, April Fuji. Fuji, you're eating crow today. Oh, what, no bounce back? Sean Kilroy, positive news. Ranger Suarez felt good after the bullpen session. That is a great thing. I'm happy to see that. Get another lefty in this rotation. That'd be nice. That can only help, right? What else do we have here? Fuji, too much talent to stay bad all year. All right, that's the optimism I need. Fuji, we're the fighting Phils. Let's not forget it. What are the fighting Phils without fighting? They're just the Phils. There's no way this Yankees series should have ended up this early in the year. I agree with that. Anybody going to the opener? Fuji wants to hang out. There's no way the Yankees series should have been. I agree. Fuji. Oh, come on. Professor Dutch, what's going on? Nice to see you. As I jump around here. Why is this? I have to get another mouse. Weather should hold off for the opener. That's a good sign. Professor Dutch, good morning. Not panicking, but these 0-4 Phillies look flat with a PH. Thanks for the great oh, that's very nice of you, Professor Dutch. Thank you. I try to provide fine content for everyone. We need to buy, this is Sean Kilroy. We need Tobias Harris to show up tonight and night in and night out, which we haven't gotten, like you said, Farzi. Very inconsistent play. You know, it's weird saying this because Tobias Harris is so much more of a veteran than Tyrese Maxey. But this is how I feel. Watching Tyrese Maxey without Joel Embiid last year, it was like a 9-game stretch. Tyrese Maxey really came into his own. He was running the offense. He was the leading point scorer. He was getting 30-point games. And then Joel Embiid came back, and Maxey played with a third of the confidence that he had played with without Joel Embiid. He wanted to shoehorn himself in around Joel Embiid. And I get that, and to a degree, he's right to do that because Joel Embiid is the go-to guy here in Philly. But then Tyrese Maxey started to realize and started to get inspiration from Joel Embiid and later James Harden when James Harden came here and was like, you are really good at this. We need you to help us more. It can't all be Joel Embiid. It can't all be me, James Harden. It's got to be a lot of you too, Tyrese Maxey. You're good enough to score. Scoring in basketball is not democratic, but you're in here. You're in here helping us win. You have enough talent in you to score enough points to help us win. You're allowed to do that. Go do that. You see a lane, you take the lane. You have an open shot, you take the open shot. You think you could work a guy off the dribble and get a step back? Go ahead, by all means, do it. You think you can beat a guy off the dribble and get to the hoop? Do it. I feel like Tobias Harris needs a similar come-to-Jesus moment. He's good enough to help this team win. He is having a harder time than I think Tyrese Maxey of shoehorning himself into this style of play with James Harden, with Tyrese Maxey, and with Joel Embiid. Maybe the emergence of Tyrese Maxey has only made it harder. As a matter of fact, it has made it harder for Tobias Harris. But he's good enough, too, to score. He's good enough to get shots off. He's good enough to hit threes in the corner. He's good enough to play defense, and that part of his game has been consistent. I want to give him credit for that. But you still need more from him. What we watched with Tyrese Maxey last year feels like what we have been watching with Tobias Harris since really James Harden got here. That's unfortunate because I do feel like even with Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid and J.J. Redick getting off shots, I feel like you still had a much better brand of basketball from Tobias Harris than what we have seen most recently from him. Certainly more consistently 4 years ago, 3 years ago. But as of late, you have not seen that guy. I hope we get to see that guy. Mihai Sanchez. What's up, Mihai Sanchez? Morning, Mark. Everyone, happy quarter century of life to me today. Hey, Mi, happy birthday. All I ask is for just one Phillies win and feeling that the Sixers can advance to the second, advance past the second round. All I want is high hopes. Let's go. There you go, Mihai. Happy birthday, Mihai. Oh, now the birthday wishes are pouring in. Yacht. Am I saying that name right? Yacht? Sixers are favored tonight? Are they really? I have not looked. Let me put this in here. Sixers, TN. Sixers 2.5. Look at that. There you go, Sixers. Oh, we're going to win tonight. Sixers, 2.5-point favorites for tonight. I was going to give that to you in the final, but it just made more sense to do it now. It just simply made more sense. Let me get to the rest of this chat check here. April, I think you're like me. I think you're staring at that panic button with the Phillies. April says, definitely not saying they're done for the season, but they need to make some changes for sure. I think, April, you and I are in the same boat. We're like, we're just going to be frustrated and annoyed, but we're not going to be panicked. We're not going to, panic button's over there. It's so shiny. It's begging to be pushed. Mark, how did you miss that PJ was going to the game? I'm a big dumb idiot. I think self-centered is the way to describe it. April, oh my God, the Core State Center. That's where I started working in bank. Oh, Core States is where you started working in banking. No, it was first year. I was trying to think. The first time I was in there, it was Core State Center. And then I played on the floor eighth grade year at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Played on the floor, hit a baseline jumper, no big deal. At the First Union Center, yeah. Then it was the First Union Center. Fuji, old Yankee Stadium is classic. New one sucks. That sums it up rather well. Mihai says thank you to birthdays, all that stuff. Underdogs run faster. Mihai, that's the spirit. Appreciate you guys. What's going on over on Jacob? I'm trying to get over to Jacob, and now my internet doesn't want to work. That's not cool. Getting over there now. I know I saw a couple of you guys over there. Go Sixers, I believe, was the fellow. Yeah, go Sixers. Morning, Farzi. Basically, what he's saying is finally some Sixers talk. Well, there you go. There you go. Appreciate you, go Sixers. Really, a guy or a person with go Sixers as their avatar. Once more Sixers conversation. Well, there you are. There you are. Thanks to everybody in the chat. You guys are great as per usual. Let's get to the morning rush brought to you by Sky Motor Cars, skymotorcars.com. Let me address this. Jalen Carter. I'll get into this more tomorrow with our friend Jeff Mosher of Inside the Birds. Here's where I'm at with Jalen Carter. I know controversy and all that stuff. I like Jalen Carter. I thought the Eagles were going to go defensive line. I think Jalen Carter is definitely on their wish list. I think Jalen Carter coming to the Eagles is only a good thing. In terms of him coming to visit the Eagles is a good sign. I don't know if he makes the 10. Everyone, this is how it always seems to go. A little bit of controversy comes out about a player. Regardless of what it is, they're like, oh, the draft stock will drop. Or some bad news comes out of a player. Anything other than injury is not bad news. Injury is bad news. N'Kobe Dean, people had a whiff of him having a shoulder issue. Dropped to the third round. First round talent, potentially. Dropped to the third round. Because somebody heard something once from somebody's sister's best friend's cat, dog, whatever, that there was a shoulder issue. And N'Kobe Dean's like, shoulder's fine. I don't know what everybody's deal is. Injury is the only thing that can really hurt draft stock. You could talk about bad clubhouse guy, bad locker room guy. A lot of times teams will still take a chance. Jalen Carter is a guy that can tear up offensive lines. I would love to see him in an Eagles jersey. Him visiting the Eagles, I saw that yesterday. Then I saw the news, and maybe it's a little disingenuous because he's only visiting top 10 teams. Whatever, he was in the building. He had a meeting. He took the meeting. Good for him. Good for the Eagles. I think he only helps the Eagles and this defensive line. As I've been saying for a long time, the Eagles are just going to continue to build the trenches, and a guy like Jalen Carter is certainly a guy you could build the trenches with. for years to come. So I wouldn't be mad at that. I still think the Eagles trade out of the first round with their 30th pick. I think they trade for more assets later, and I think they trade for a guy that is ready to play right now. Yes, Jeffrey Simmons is at the top of that list. Eagles are going to continue to build up their defensive line. And the other thing that goes in there, we don't know much about Sean Desai's scheme or philosophy or what he brings to the table specifically, but what we do know is the reason they brought him in here is because he's going to do things very similarly to the way that Jonathan Gannon did that or did them. And I know a lot of people that hit your ear the wrong way, and I'm not mad at you for it. It hits my ear the wrong way as well. But if it means the Eagles are going to continue to stack the defensive line and get 70 sacks in a season, then I'm going to be fine with it. I'm going to be just fine and dandy with it. Because if you don't have to blitz and you're getting pressure, great. That wasn't Jonathan Gannon's downfall as far as I was concerned. It was the in-game adjustments, and we've talked about that before. If you could continue to build up your defensive line, you could get a guy like Jalen Carter, dare I say somehow magically trade up? Not happening. But if you can get Jalen Carter on this team, or you can bolster your defensive line somehow with this draft, whether that's Jeffrey Simmons and Jalen Carter, whether that's just Jalen Carter or whatever, then you can get after the quarterback without having to send more than you need. And that means more guys are back in coverage, and that can help you continue to have the best pass defense in the NFL. Going to be tougher to do that with the safeties that you have right now. But I'm at least interested to see how the Eagles roll the dice when it comes to this draft and who they go after. But I think the one thing is going to remain true. They're going to continue to build in the trenches. And I think they do that on the defensive line in the early goings of this draft. Other things in the morning rush. Sixers at it tonight, as I pointed out already. 8 o'clock tip-off. 2.5-point favorites there against the Celtics. Looking for the first win against the Celtics this season. Celtics right now, as the standings go, 3 games up on the Sixers with 4 games remaining for the second playoff seed in the Eastern Conference. Sixers, this is how they're going to finish out their season. After they play the Celtics tonight and hopefully get that win and inspire that confidence, Sixers will round out the season by going by hosting the Miami Heat. That'll be a Thursday night game, 7:30. And then they will visit the Atlanta Hawks for a 7:30 tip-off. And then they will visit the Brooklyn Nets for a 1 o'clock tip-off on April 9th. So the season will be rounded out by the end of this week. As far as the Orange and Black go, the Flyers will try to avoid a 4th straight loss after winning 4 in a row. They will try to avoid a 4th straight loss when they drop the puck in St. Louis with the Blues tonight. 8 o'clock puck drop for your captainless Flyers. Phillies today, ladies and gentlemen. They'll get right back on the diamond, looking to avoid the worst start by a former World Series team the previous year. Looking to avoid the 0-5 start to the season. They're going to go with an opener tonight. 7:05 start time against the Yankees. Matt Strom will get the start. Might go an inning or two for the Phillies. Hey, well, why not? Let's get crazy. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. Let's go for 3 innings. Out of Matt Strom getting the start there. And as was pointed out earlier in our chat check, yeah, Ranger Suarez did get a bullpen session, did feel better afterwards. Things seem to be progressing well for the Phillies' young lefties. Look forward to that. Phillies 7:05 start time. Look forward to that ball game tonight. Hopefully the Phillies turning things around. That would be very nice to see. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. That's the Farzy Show, everybody. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Hopefully after a Sixers win over the Celtics, a Flyers win over the Blues, and then obviously a Phillies with the first win of the season. This is just for an audience of one. Ari, thank you for listening. Crazy. All right. Thanks, everyone. Jim Heider produced the program over here on the Farzy Show. Xander Krause produced over there on Jacob Media. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is the Farzy Show. My name is Mark Farzetta, presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Coming up a little bit later on Jacob Media, you got Birds 365 with Jody Mack and Johnny Mack coming up in a little bit. Have a good one, everybody. See you.